Well, good morning. I am here today in a different role than you may have seen me before, but let me assure you that I've been preaching for years. Jeff and my girls can attest to the mom sermonettes that they get at home, but my first sermon was a number of years ago, and I stood before a captive audience and boldly and passionately proclaimed the Word of God. At the time, I was 8 or 9 years old, and my audience was all my dolls and stuffed animals lined up on my bed. So I took that sermon then to my elementary school playground, and I remember standing by a little girl at the fence of the playground, and I said, "If you died, do you know what would happen to you? Because if you don't love Jesus with all your heart, you're going to go to hell." Later that day, I found myself in the principal's office. It's the only time I've ever had to go to the principal's office for discipline. And apparently saying things like that at school scares people. So that kind of put the brakes on my preaching for a while. But fast forward to a few months ago, and Pastor Ryan approached me and asked if I would consider giving the message today on giftedness. So at first I was like, wow, cool, yikes. But my mind immediately went into action because I am passionate about helping people discover and serve in their giftedness. I believe that we all have gifts. There is something that every single one of you does well, and probably more than one thing. And those gifts that we have are given to us by God. And so there is no better place for us to use those gifts than in the church. The church, as the church, we've been given a mission. Jesus established the church to be in the world, to carry out the ministry that he started and developed while he lived on earth, to show people who Jesus is so that they can know him and have the living hope that we have. So he had a very short window of time. His official ministry was 3 years, and then we know the story of he died, rose from the grave, and there was this short window of time from after he rose until he ascended back to heaven where he is now that he spent time with his disciples and he gave them this mission. Now, days before, the disciples were devastated because they had given their lives, they had put their hope in Jesus because they knew that he had something different to teach and to show. And they were going to change the world together. And all of a sudden, they find that Jesus is dead, killed. And they think, what do we do now? Their world was taken out from under them. But then imagine when Jesus appears to them. And they think, he's alive. This is so much bigger than we could even imagine. Imagine that hope. And so in that hope that they have, Jesus says, tell as many people as you can everything that I have taught you so that they can have this same hope. So that was the mission that he gave the church, and so the disciples were faithful to do that, and 2,000 years later, that's our mission. This is God's plan A for giving hope to the world. It's up to us. And so in this season, when we are facing, you know, we've recently heard about hurricanes that have wiped out entire cities, and floods where people have lost their homes and everything that they knew, and mass shootings where all of a sudden someone you love is gone for no reason. These are real people with real hurt, and they're looking for hope. And we, as the church, get to bring hope to them because we can bring them the hope of Jesus. There is no other hope outside of Jesus. And so you may be thinking, well, yeah, we don't have hurricanes here. What can I do? We haven't had a flood in a long time. What can I do? That may be true. But there are over 4,000 people living in Lake County who are living without hope, people that we rub shoulders with every day. And there are people who have real hurt and real pain. Just a few weeks ago, Jordan's dad was tragically killed, rocked his world. Their family is wondering, what do we do? And so as a church, we called and said, how can we help? And he said, I need my lawn mowed. I mean, he's up in by Aberdeen. And so we put that need out there. And Umberto, who loves to do yard work but doesn't have a yard, immediately said, I'm going to do that. And he used his gifts, and he brought hope to Jordan's situation. You may think a mass shooting. That happened in Las Vegas. This is Madison. What do we do? What can we do? I don't know much about. I don't think anybody knows much about the shooter at this point, but I'm pretty convinced that he was probably doing life alone. He didn't have a community of people around him. And so we have people here in our community who are doing life alone, and so we can come alongside of them and we can be that community for them and that encouragement and show them that hope so that the next time there's a mass shooting, it doesn't come from Madison, South Dakota. This is where our gifts come into play. What God has given to us is meant to go beyond ourselves and meant to serve other people. Because when we do that, it gives us purpose. You may have found yourself in a situation where maybe you were struggling and life was hard for you, but you saw somebody else who had a need or somebody else who was hurting, and you reached out and you gave something to them, you provided something for them. That gives us a deep sense of satisfaction because it helps us discover our purpose. And I've seen this in the 5 months that I've been on staff at Living Hope. We've been attending here for 3.5 years, but I've seen this time and again at Living Hope. You're excellent, awesome at using your gifts to serve other people. We put a need out to the church, whether it's we're doing this ministry and we need some help, or somebody's moving and they need some help, and people respond. And I love people who have the gift of serving, people like Gary and Joan Coombs or Wayne and Dorothy. They're some of the first people who sign up and say, I'll just do whatever you need, you just tell me what to do. That's a heart with a gift of service. And some of you have the gift of encouragement. You can't walk away from a conversation with Barb Turnow and not feel encouraged. So if you need some encouragement, you need to find her because she will comfort your spirit like nothing else because of God's work through her. Some of you have the gift of giving. God has blessed you with not just financial resources, but even just other material things or things that, you know, even the intangibles that you have, and you want to give those, and you're generous with those to help people for kingdom purposes. Some of you have the gift of faith. I'm one of those people that, I don't know if I do or not, but when I face a difficult situation, I tend to freak out a little bit, and my mind starts to think, how am I going to fix this? What am I going to do? And I talk to somebody like Vi, who has the gift of faith, and she says, it's going to be okay. God is bigger than this. We're going to pray about it, and it's going to be okay. And so these gifts that you have, you've been using to encourage and bring hope. And so I want to talk this morning about why giftedness works. Because we know it does, but let's just look a little bit at why that is. So if you take your note-taking guide, the first answer to that question is that God designed our gifts for helping others. And this idea comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's this whole chapter about all these different gifts that God has given and they need to work together, and the whole reason is found here in verse 7. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So God has given you the gifts that you have so that you can help other people. He's designed you the way that he's designed you so that you can help other people. He's put you in the family that you're in so you can help those people. He's put you in the job that you're in so you can help those people. He's put you in the neighborhood that you're in so you can help those people. God designed all of that for you to help other people. You've been designed by God to do good things, and your gifts are a part of that. I'm going to pull out some of my toys here today. If we look at these shapes, each of these shapes is different, and we all have this unique shape, and our gifts are a part of that. Your personality is a part of that. The people that surround you are a part of your shape, and your life experiences and your natural abilities, and all of us are unique. Nobody has the same shape. It's how God designed you. And on the other side of that, God has designed ways for you to use your shape and places for your shape to fit. Now, if you've watched a toddler play with this toy, the first thing they might do is put it in their mouth, right? I won't do that. But then you'll see they'll kind of like hit it, and it makes a cool noise, and they're like, maybe this is supposed to go somewhere, but where does it go? And then they find one that they think fits, and they struggle with it and turn it just right. And the first time that happens, they get this look of delight and surprise because it works. It fits. Your gift, your shape, when you put it and use it the way that God designed it to help other people, it fits and it's delightful. My daughter, Medora, plays volleyball. And she's in eighth grade, and let's just be real, that middle school sports are challenging because your body is growing, and one arm might be longer than the other arm, and you're tripping over your feet on the court, and it's hard to get it all right. So in seventh grade, they're really just kind of learning the plays, learning the positions on the court, figuring out the rules of the game. And so this year in eighth grade, her coaches are able to refine a little bit more and say, this girl is a good server, so we need to make sure she's in a serving rotation. And this girl can pass and get it right where it needs to be. And they've identified Medora as a front row hitter. So I picked her up from practice one day, and she got in the car and she said, Mom, I'm a hitter. I got a hit today. I went up to the net and I hit that ball and it went over and hit the floor and nobody returned it. And that felt so good. And then I got more and it kept happening. And I said, yes, it finally all comes together. Because it takes a lot to get a good hit. You have to have your other teammate give you a good pass. Your timing has to be spot on. You have to be in the right position, and you have to place that ball right where it goes on the floor. But when it comes together, it's a beautiful thing. And so God designed our gifts for helping other people. And when we use our gifts in that way, this is our second point. This is obvious and it's simple, but I don't want to overlook this. God delights in his design. God designs some amazing stuff. He spent 6 days creating everything that we see. Floyd has just posted some incredible pictures from his trip to Colorado. God's design is beautiful. And after every day when God made something, he said, it is good. God delights in his design. So even just look at our human body. There's some things that we can look at to say God's a good designer, and it's a good thing. Our ears. He designed our ears to use a complex way of transferring invisible sound waves from the air into the liquid in our ears so that we can hear. Who does that? God does that. It's pretty good IT. Or our nose. We don't like to think about this big thing on the center of our face, but they used to think that our nose could distinguish between, at most, 10,000 different aromas. That's a lot. But then research came out from Rockefeller University, and they've discovered that our nose can distinguish, get this, more than a trillion different aromas. That's a good design. God makes good stuff. Or my feet. Feet are stinky and ugly, but God designed our feet with a purpose. Even when I am standing still, my feet are hard at work, keeping me balanced and upright. God delights in his design, and when we use the things for which he designed them, he delights in that. So when I use my mouth to offer words of encouragement to someone, or lift up his name and praise him, he delights in that. When I use my hands to maybe hold someone else's hand and comfort them, or pray with them, or make something that will meet a need that they have, he delights in that. When we use our gifts to help other people as God designed, he delights in that. And we have some in the bulletin, some of the other things that were listed there are some opportunities that maybe this is something God has designed you for that he can find delight in. We have a Meals on Wheels opportunity. And this isn't just about taking meals to somebody. This is about coming into someone's life and being another human, another presence, to just share a bit of love for just even a couple of minutes, because sometimes that might be the only visit they get that day. And so if your gift is compassion, and if God has made your schedule such that you're free at 11 o'clock for about 45 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever it takes, then maybe that's what God has designed you for this week, is to respond to the Meals on Wheels. Or Hope for the Holidays. There are people in our community who have had some unexpected things happen this year, and with Christmas just around the corner, that's adding to the pressure of what they're facing. And if you're someone who's aware of those things and has that gift of compassion, you can take a form at the Information Center, a nomination form, and write down their name. The church will contact them and say, we understand that some things have been difficult for you. We want to come alongside of you and help you, because we have some gifts that can be used for that. And then we put those gifts, or we put those opportunities out there for you as a church to say, this is how we can help. And those of you who have the gift of giving or of serving will say, I can do that. And God will delight in that, if that's what he's designed you for. In Romans chapter 12, gifts are a big deal to God because there's several mentions in Scripture, some lengthy passages about gifts and how we're to use them. And Romans 12 is another one. Verses 6 through 8, it says, "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." So again, if God has given you something, he's going to delight when you do it well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, that basically means it's the gift of delivering God's word in a way that influences people to act. We don't necessarily use that term anymore, but if that's your gift, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So take what God has designed you to do and do it well. We see this idea in teams. And some professional teams are, you know, they are a good example of this. I like to watch football. And we're going to watch the Packers take down the Cowboys today. I've got a few fans out there. But, you know, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, let's give them credit. They are some of the best quarterbacks. And every coach needs a good quarterback. And they will often design their plays around the gifts of their quarterback. But what if the quarterback said, "I don't know. I played last week. I did a pretty good job. You guys can do it without me today. Go for it." That would be football suicide. Because the coach has designed the players on the team to need each other and to help each other. And so the team needs the quarterback, but the quarterback also needs the rest of the team. And they all need to be committed to doing what they do best for the good of the team. They work together, practicing all the time so that they are ready for any situation. And not just the regular things, but the unexpected. I know for a fact that the Packers spend a lot of time practicing the scramble play. So they line up at the line of scrimmage, and there's a play that's called. But as soon as they see Aaron Rodgers start to move around in the pocket and scramble, they see that he's in trouble, and they immediately go into action to help him out and make something happen. That's teamwork. You not only know your part and do it well, but you are aware of the other parts around you and what's needed to work together. So when the Packers win today, it's going to be because every player knew the role that they were designed to play, and they executed it and played to the best of their ability for the purpose of helping the rest of the team. Being aware of that. Now, let me say that there's going to be times as a church when we do our best, and we show up with our A game, and everything seems to go right, and we still can't get a win. Why is that? It's because we have an enemy. Satan, and he has an agenda as well. So our win as the church is to share God's love with as many people as we can, to make disciples, help people to follow God and enjoy him forever. And Satan wants to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so when I don't operate in my giftedness, Satan gets a win. When I'm not aware of the other players around me, he finds a weak spot and takes us down. And when I'm not using my gifts in connection with the other people around me, Satan intercepts the play and scores. And so if we want to get the win as a church and fulfill the mission that Jesus left with us, we need to know our part. We need to know how God has designed us. We need to do it well and do it in a way that helps other people, because that's God's design, and he delights in his design. The third reason why giftedness works is that when I use my gifts, God develops me. A couple weeks ago, we talked about growth, and growth is a journey. We're always, hopefully, moving on this path to be more and more like Christ, and there are things that we can do to grow, and I think that operating in our giftedness is a way that we grow. I also think that when I don't operate in my giftedness, I miss an opportunity to grow. So this is pretty simple. Everybody take out your pointer finger. Let's say that we are a pointer finger and we want to be the best pointer finger that we can be. So to do that, we're gonna do some exercises, all right? We're gonna do some deep bends, maybe do some, you know, loop-de-loops and all this kind of stuff because we wanna be a strong pointer finger. We could choose to be just average or we could choose to be stronger. And if we choose in our spiritual life to grow, God promises that he's going to make it happen. Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. We can't even take credit for starting our journey with God because he began that work in us. And he will continue it if we choose and allow him to. And so he's also, you know, he's given us that gift and that promise that he's going to help us, but he's also given us the gift of doing this life together and growing together in groups. So when I am growing, the rest of the people around me are growing. Because if I take my finger and it's getting stronger and I have to lift a heavy rock, not only is this finger stronger, but it's benefiting the other fingers and the other parts around it. So this is our next answer to why giftedness works is because when I use my gifts, God develops the church. We all grow stronger when we're using our gifts together. And we talked last week about the importance of living in community and of groups. And Pastor Andrew taught us from Acts 2 how God designed life together to work. He said when we're doing life as God designed it, we study the Bible together, we eat together, we pray together, we share what we have with one another, we worship together, we work together to serve one another and our community. We use our gifts together. Ephesians chapter 4, another passage on gifts in the New Testament, tells us that our gifts are given to us so that we grow together. These are the gifts, it says, that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, that's another word that's not in our current vocabulary, but those are people who plant new ministries in churches. The prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This is our part in growing. And I'm using my gifts and I'm growing and God's developing me. And then in verse 16, it says, he, which is God, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that a beautiful picture? When we are all using our gifts together to help each other, we become healthy together and grow together. The last answer to why giftedness works for today is God distributes his grace through our gifts. And to me, this is where the rubber really meets the road. It's the reason why God gave us gifts, because it's not just to make me look better and make you look better, but it's meant so that his grace comes out of me into the lives of the people around me and gives them the hope that I have. Because he gave us his grace, he gave us his gifts. The things he gives us are not meant for us to keep for ourselves. They're meant to further the mission of the church that he left us with. When we serve in our giftedness, 1 Peter 4:10 tells us this idea that God distributes grace. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We hear the word steward and kind of think of manage, and you know, we get to, in a sense, manage God's grace because it's something that he gives to us, and we have a choice to keep it or to let it flow out and help other people. This morning, when you came in, you were given this handout with the opportunities to serve in your giftedness, and I'd like you to take that out at this time, I have to believe that there is at least one thing on this sheet, and maybe there's a half a dozen, that fit your shape. You're going to have some time to fill this out, and you might be, you know, looking through this and thinking, well, I don't know, some of this is, you know, Children's Check-In uses computers, and I don't know computers. You don't have to know computers. You need to love kids, and you need to say welcome with a smile. That's it. So if there's some of these things on here that you're like, oh, maybe, I mean, we can't give a full description on this little sheet, but if there's something that's even just a little bit you might consider, check it. Now, some of you are like, I am not doing that because the last time I filled one of those things out, I got put in a position. I've been there 15 years. I'm going to be there till the day that I die. Or you got called to do something and you get a call every week, every month saying, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? So I'm going to make a deal with you this morning. Whatever you mark on that sheet, I am only going to ask you to do it one time. Because I want to see, we want to see if that's your shape. If this is who you are, and there's an opportunity, and it's not right, then it's not right. But if it is right, it's beautiful. And God will use that, and he will delight in that. When we serve in our giftedness, when we do it together as one church, it all comes together, and that's how Christ carries out the mission of the church to bring hope to the world, because his grace comes out of us through our gifts. Where else in the world can you do something with your gifts that will affect somebody else's forever? It might even be something small. Miss Rita comes in every Thursday and folds your bulletins so that you're able to have communication from the staff and hear about opportunities and see where you can do things with your gifts. And ultimately, you'll end up impacting somebody else's forever. So her gift of just serving and folding bulletins is eventually going to impact somebody else's forever. And so I want you to consider, the band is going to come and play the last song, and I just want you to sit and reflect and consider and pray and ask God, what have you designed me to do that can help somebody else? And as you leave, you can leave those cards in the white buckets with your giving as you exit this morning. But I hope that you'll spend some time. Let me just pray with you and let you consider that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have designed. I thank you for the majesty of the mountains and the intricate design of the smallest things of a butterfly's wing. God, the design that you have in your church to take all of us and all the shapes and sizes and things that we bring, and you use that to share hope and grace with people. God, I pray that you will open our eyes to the needs around us, that we can see, even without necessarily being asked, that we can just see a need and respond because it's what you've designed us to do. And God, we will give you praise and glory, and we will delight as you delight when we use our gifts to serve others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.